The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us.
Ronnie, you look so fine.
Look so fine.
Couldn't resist. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Thursday, second day of August, 2018. Just couldn't resist that. Anyhow, back to the story. Let me finish this out. So, in other words, the U.S. government, in order to prosecute Assange, must first accuse him of involvement in criminal activity. It does not center on his publishing of classified documents. Now, thanks to the Mueller probe and the political climate it's fostered, the U.S. government seems to have gotten the opening it has long sought in pursuit of the man. Now, the tactical course here, correction and path of least resistance, following the most recent indictments issued by Special Counsel Robert Mueller and his team earlier this month, mainstream media sources have openly discussing the possibility that Assange will be targeted not for publishing classified information, but for allegedly working on behalf of Russian military intelligence. And I give you a report here, a little verbiage here from CNN. They recently said, the recent indictments issued by U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller imply that Assange and WikiLeaks were a conduit for Russian intelligence in distributing hacked Democratic Party emails in 2016. Now, that same article goes on to speculate that a sealed indictment in relation to the Russian hacking probe may await Julian Assange if he's extradited to the United States. Wonder if there's bond. Julian can stay at my house. I got a spare bedroom. Could you imagine what that place would look like? We'd have microphones and microscopes and listening devices and taps and recording. Man, I'd be the most surveilled character on the face of the planet. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I already am. Another report, this time published by the Washington Examiner, also spoke of these possibilities and asserted that the latest round of Mueller indictments targeting several Russian intelligence operatives had put Assange back on the hot seat. Now, that report claims the recently released indictments revealed that Assange was eager to obtain information allegedly stolen by the Russian military intelligence from the Democratic National Committee. No, it's the dead guy, Seth Rich, and collaborated with the Russian military intelligence by giving Russian hackers advice how to disseminate the leaked DNC emails. Now, the report also claims that the indictments undermine Assange's repeated denials that the source of the DNC emails was a DNC insider, not the Russian government, even though Assange's claims have corroborated by several independent analysts, including celebrated NSA whistleblower William Bill Binney. Furthermore, some writers of the establishment left, such as Bill Palmer, have asserted that the grand jury proceedings strongly suggest that Mueller plans to indict Stone and Assange in tandem. By the way, what Roger Stone has said about that? Oh, please indict me. Palmer asserted that an indictment against Assange is imminent given that Mueller is now subpoenaing Stone's closest friend and associates. This comes even as Ecuador says it's turning Assange over to British authorities, a possible sign that he'll be indicted by Mueller and extradited. Thus, it appears that the consensus is being to emerge in the mainstream press that Assange is set to be imminently indicted through the Mueller probe. Not necessarily a long-standing grand jury proceeding, as such an indictment would be used to accuse the to accuse of Assange of collaborating with Russian military intelligence in its alleged interference with the 2016 U.S. elections. Now, this story goes on, but you get the idea. Now, remember when Fox News, their poster child for conservatism, you know who I'm talking about, was sitting there interviewing Julian Assange. And he kept pressing Julian, hey, you know, where did this information come from? Did it come from the Russians? Did it come from the U.S.? And he says, I'm not going to compromise that. He says, I have a reputation here, and it's longstanding. It's my principle. I do not expose sources. I just simply release the information. And that's exactly what he did. And I'm damn glad that he did. You know, at about the same time, who was the other guy that was releasing information? Yeah, you got it. So they hate the leakers, folks, especially with the information they leak is correct. They can't stand that. That becomes a threat, and you got to make it the poster child for I'm going to get you. Well, I don't know how many people know the Julian Assange stories in mainstream America, but we certainly know it, and other people know it. It's the issue that, well, you know, them being good investigative journalists on our mainstream media, they just never seem to do anything white paper. Let's look into the Julian Assange thing. Here we have the pro, here we have the con. We report, you decide. Yeah. In my eye. Sovereign Man, hello. How you doing?
I'm blessed. And how's favorite? How are you, John?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I think Bonda's talking wrong. Rhonda needs to have those people send her a copy or certified copy of the wedding signature contract that obligated her to, you know, because I don't think it's there.
And that's what I said. When that credit card wasn't officially activated by her, that wasn't an active account, and there's nothing they should be able to do off of that. They, by their complaint and turning this over to a collections company, they themselves activated their own contract, which she was not a party of.
Yeah, and actually the credit collector is a third-party interloper and has no standing.
Well, just don't tell the rest of America that, because they shudder and shimmy when all the collection people are after me. Yeah.
Well, she could have told that. She could have said, you know, I want to know who's making the claim. I want to speak to the person who's making this claim. You know, it's just fiction. It's made up. They're clutching at straws.
Yeah.
Probably because her account was hacked, and they got her data, and they fabricated something.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Those sirens aren't for you, are they, Sovereign Man?
No. Actually, I'm near a hospital.
Okay.
I'm out in the free world here.
Okay.
With all the weather modifications, I'm waiting for it to be enabled again over top of my head. So that's it. And I ask the listeners to keep Ron in your prayers, that he have a expeditious healing, and that, you know, if it be God's will, that, you know, he'd be back with us soon.
Yeah. I'm waiting with bated breath, but I'll tell you what, man, it's been quite a while. And he is doing much better, but evidently not on par enough to come back on air. So,
yeah, I mean, can you give us an update? How's everything? Is functioning okay?
Yeah, he's doing much better. That question should be asked of the resident nurse here on RBN, Steve Elkins. So, ask him that question. I asked him, and he said, you know, it's real hard getting a hold of him. He doesn't answer emails. Very rarely does he answer a phone call. I've got my private little fantasy going on. Maybe he's working overtime trying to produce that second book.
Hey, that would be a blessing.
Yeah.
But I hope in the world that he's not being Wynn Parker.
No, the mystery of Wynn Parker and what the hell happened to him.
You got any updates?
No, I do not. I got nothing. I got nada. It's like the man never existed.
How about the new kids on the block? over there in on the Emerald Isle. I've been hearing Vince for the past few broadcasts.
Wait a minute, between the noise and your cryptic stuff, what?
You know, those Irish guys, Darren.
He did one show on the network. He's not on the network, and I don't think he's going to be. It's very strange in 2.5 months that we were waiting for him to come on air. He finally did a show on a Friday, then got back to us and said that, I got to go get a job, and I only do 2 days a week. Well, I'm not doing consortium programming on the network Monday through Friday because it never works. And during that period of time, I did not get one email or one phone call from the guy. And we waited for him to finish his military obligations in June. You know, that was another stall, and here we are in July, and, you know, I can only do 2 days a week. And I had talked to him. He wanted to move to Austin. He actually wanted to move from Ireland to Austin, and I said, look, if you do that, I'll put you up in my house for a while. Everything was just fine, and all of a sudden, no communications, and he's kind of like dictating to us what we can do, and I just said, forget it. You know, good luck with your job. And that was it.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd get some new blood in the network. But
yeah,
hey, keep hope alive.
All right, man. Working with what we got. Thank you. Appreciate it, Sovereign Man. It was unfortunate because there were a few hosts that listened to that show and said, you know what, this guy could be pretty good. Well, I thought he was going to be pretty good, but he ain't here to be good. So it is what it is. Did you get any emails from him? Did Dan, Mike? And? If there's a spot opening, you'd like a spot. Well, what did he think I was doing for almost 3 months holding that afternoon spot? Playing tiddlywinks? One day. All right. Well, you may hear him on the network, but only for 1 day a week. Okay. You know, you can't operate like this. You know, you can't run a network like this. And it isn't, people say, you know, that John Steffen, he's got one hell of a temper and he's just mean. No, I'm not, folks. I'm very accommodating. I'm very patient to a point. Yeah. On the heels of what I was talking about, Jim Acosta and CNN, well, it didn't end after the Trump rally down in Florida, down in Tampa. Reporters and celebrities called Trump supporters Nazis, KKK, and want them euthanized after Tampa rally. Now, again, is turnabout fair play? If I said, you know what, I think Jim Acosta should be euthanized. What do you think the reaction of that would be? I would be some murderous conspiracy theorist, militia, asshat, killer, murderer, terrorist. But they say it, and it's okay. Can these people go bankrupt? Can they all just lose their jobs? Well, you know by now, Trump held a raucous rally in Tampa, Florida, Tuesday night. Thousands of supporters packed the arena to hear Trump hammer his critics and tout the administrator's accomplishments, which the laundry list is growing. There was plenty of hecklers, comedy, and chants about Hillary in 2020. Trump stopped to pick up one of his favorite targets, the media. Approximately halfway through the speech, the president heckled the press in the press pen as fake news, and the audience roared, chanting fake news and CNN sucks at the reporters. Let me see if I can get this clip to come up here. That's going to happen. Can you see if you can bring that up on your side? One of the favorite targets of the audience was CNN's Jim Acosta. I just love the idea that Jim Acosta is being accosted, don't you? Who tweeted multiple videos of the crowd mocking him before and after the rally. Acosta blamed Trump for the vitriol, saying, I'm very worried that the hostility whipped up by Trump and some of the conservative media will result in somebody getting hurt. All right, you communists, stop doing what you're doing! You know, it's like walking butt naked into a lion's cage spread with meat, you know, the and the smell of raw, and complain that the lion or the tiger wants to chew your head off. Stop doing it. Stop being a communist. Stop misrepresenting. Stop being a liar with an agenda. Well, Acosta, he tweeted out, just a sample of the sad scene we faced at the Trump rally in Tampa. I'm very worried that the hostility whipped up by the Trump and some in conservative media will result in somebody getting hurt. We should not treat our fellow Americans this way. The press is not the enemy. In a pig's eye, Jimmy boy. Go ahead. Okay. Not that you can understand a word, but you can hear the crowd, and you know, it's kind of funny. Trump is making all these little whistle stop tours for some of the people in the midterm elections, and he's out there touting his programs. He's out in public, unafraid, and doing the thing. And it's really, you know, they haven't figured it out. They twist Trump's tail, and he just doubles down. They haven't gotten it yet. They really haven't gotten it. Now, this tweet went viral with many celebrities and journalists insulting the supporters. Celebrated composer Christopher O'Reilly. Mike? The vaunted celebrated composer Christopher O'Reilly. Do you know who he is? You ever heard the guy's name? Well, I guess he's not so vaunted and celebrated here. Okay. Who's a regular on PBS? Oh, well, hell. And NPR. Yeah, literally called for the enforcement slaughter of Trump supporters, calling them deplorables, is youth. No, this is a misprint. There is no such word as euthanizing. Euthanizing. Calling them deplorables is euthanizing them. Maybe better to euthanize? Okay, damn, I'm slow on the uptake here. That was a little twist. I'm sorry. Now, other verified handles of celebrities and reporters were just as vulgar, likening the Trump supporters to Nazis, KKK members, white trash, now they're getting personal, and Hitler, while speculating the crowd will eventually commit murder. Others, no, it's hard to commit an act of violence when you're laughing so damn hard. It's just not conducive to violence. And you know what? This thought struck me today. This is how we should be handling these people. When they show up, just break out in raucous laughter and point and laugh, and then just turn your backs and walk away from these clowns. Let them in their own little cesspool to create their own false perceptions. Let them. They're dying. Even the communist-minded, socialist, liberal, I'm an asshat, and even they're not supporting CNN. Wow. When you're walking out on the limb and you get the idea that the limb's not going to take my weight and I might fall, nah, keep walking out on the limb. Go right ahead. Please. The press is not the enemy. Jimbo, evidently you don't know why I started this network, why I started doing talk radio. Do you think this was an aspiration of mine to be behind a microphone battling asshats like you for 26 years? That was not my first choice. It was a necessity. So when people are walking away from the crap that they're spreading, get a clue, dude. Get a clue. We'll take a break. We'll be back. When I get there, I'm learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
James in Sacramento. Hello, James.
Yeah, Mr. Stadmiller.
Yes, sir.
Hey, let me shut you off on the thing here. I was just calling in, hearing you talking about the politics of today.
Mm.
I just had to call in and just say, you know, what was, let me try to remember how it, you want to dig up the dirt on the Clintons. But then you figure out how much dirt does it take to cover up a couple of dozen bodies. So
Oh no, the Clinton body count is higher, my friend.
How much dirt do you have to dig up?
Yeah, I mean,
in order to clear all these bodies out of the grave.
They are shallow graves and they are numerous.
God.
You know, and that's just, you know, James, it's a good point. Thanks for pointing this out, because you know, they've got, this is a nothing burger that they've got, and they keep wanting to offer people the nothing burger, a big fat bite of nothing. You know, I mean, all we have to do, if we had an honest press, we could go through George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. We can go through Billy Clinton. We could go through Barack Obama.
Yeah.
We could have a field day with fun-filled facts of how phony these people really were.
Well, actually, George Bush Jr. was the Cheney administration.
Man, I never thought that I would see a day that there would be some sense of decorum, and, you know, I got it, you got a political agenda, but this stuff, This the only thing this shows me, James, is they're just screeching. There's nothing there, and they're losing, and
they're terrified.
Absolutely.
And the reason why is because they know they're going to start, the bodies are going to start being counted.
You know, there is one thing that I can say about this whole exercise. This has not been boring, has it?
You know what? That's what I always say to my buddies about life. You know what? All the good stuff, all the bad stuff, one thing that is, it ain't boring.
Well, imagine living an unmolested life. You know, I'm thinking about Rhonda here. Here she is minding her own business with a 800-plus credit score, and then they come after her and try to make her a victim. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, we have all been victims, one way or another, to a greater or lesser degree. And I am just, you know, how would it be just to live a boring life, no great shakes, no imminent threats, you're not in danger, you're just living this thing that's called life. Wow.
That's what I do ever since I was a kid, and I finally got out from my poverty-enriched family.
Wait. James. Your poverty-enriched family?
No. Who's the guy? There's a guy that wrote these metaphysical books. I can't remember his name.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
He talked about poverty mentality.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
And that was the family I grew up in. And they're still that way, you know. And I had to move on. I couldn't stay there. I couldn't live with them.
But James, you know, that discord in a family because they were poor and you didn't want to be poor. Is that the idea? And why?
Hard and making money.
Okay. Yeah. Where are the bodies buried? We got numerous ones. That's yesterday when I did that show on Trump and that meeting with the pastors. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm going, you know, taking the gag order through the IRS for the 501c3 that Lyndon Baines Johnson himself did. When he told those preachers, I told you I was going to set you free and I was going to unmuzzle you. He did. And I'm like, wow. You know?
Are you talking about OBJ?
I'm sorry?
Are you talking about OBJ?
Yeah, your phone is funky. Your phone keeps bleeping. You say a word and it your phone cuts out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. Let me take out the speaker. Maybe that.
Well, maybe that might help. That's much better. Okay.
Is that better?
That's
I'm
better.
Sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
I had you on speaker because I was waiting for you to come on. I mean, remember there was an old thing in the 70s, was it? Where they say, how do you come to LSD? Is LBJ. You know, there's all kinds of stuff from back then. And I got to agree with you. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that's gone on for years. I was a kid, and I was still aware of it.
Yeah.
I saw what was.
Well, let me ask you. I was going to ask you a question. Your phone just cut out. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, all right. Your phone's still doing the same thing.
It's AT&T, brother.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm in the cell hell hole area of Texas. We got towers surrounding us. And
actually, you're doing that to me. You're getting a cutoff every now and then.
Okay. No, it's your phone. No, because I'm not cutting out.
Yeah,
you.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
No, it has to be.
That's all I can say, brother.
Because it ain't us. You're only listening to me now through this phone, and I'm speaking to you through your phone.
Yeah.
And we ain't cutting out here.
Anyway, you were going to make a point.
Yeah. And I forgot what the hell it was, and we're going to break. James, I appreciate your call. All right. Have a good one.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
By the way, you remember me reporting that, and most people had gotten this call on their cell phones and sometimes their home phones, of the bad syntax Indian scams that were running, telling you that there are 4 charges pending against you and the police have arrest for you, blah, 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 blah. Well, they were busted, and for a few days, those calls were still being made, but they all but disappeared. But if a scam works once, okay, people get arrested, the next scam artist steps into the vacuum. This is the newest one, folks. Now, generally, this was on my cell phone this morning. And generally, when I would get these messages before with their fake IRS going to come arrest you, but with the bad syntax, it was comical. But when you would play it and it would complete the message, you couldn't replay it again. It would disappear from your phone. The number would still show, but the actual recording would disappear. Now, there's a new scam out there, and you can play it, but generally, now I've got an iPhone 4. How old's this damn thing, Mike? 5, 6, 7 years old, something like that? At any rate, it's got a little... It'll tell you the duration of the call, and you'll see the little slider thing there telling you, you know, okay. Well, that doesn't move, but the message can be replayed. Now, here's the latest scam, folks. You got to wait for this one. they're going to be coming to a neighborhood and a phone near you. Come on.
Hey, this is Officer Catherine Richardson, batch number 002569 from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This message has been sent to you as a final notification against your case with the Department of Tax and Crime Investigation.
Whoa.
Right now, your physical address is under investigation and an arrest warrant has been issued under your name. For further queries and resolving this case, contact the below number of the Tax and Crime Investigation Department, 917-722-4964. I repeat, 917-722-4964. Thank you.
Okay, you want to have a little fun, Mike? Dial this number up. Let's call 917-722-4964. Let's have a little bit of fun with our Punjab buddies. Now, what do you want to make a bet? Somebody from India answers this call. I don't hear any ringing. I don't hear nothing. Are you getting anything on your side?
We are sorry. No one is currently available to take your call.
Too bad.
Leave your message at the tone. Press pound when finished.
When are you guys going to get the idea that this scam, how stupid do you think Americans are? With your bad syntax, and we're going to be under arrest and warrants issued. By the way, just to let you know who's ever listening to this message, I've just been talking to you about you on air, and people have heard this whole thing. You guys, man, can't you guys figure out a better scam? I mean, come on. You Punjabs, how stupid do you think we really are? Bye.
To listen to your message, press 1.
Oh, please press 1.
Record your message.
I want to hear how it sounds.
When are you guys going to get the idea that this scam, how stupid do you think Americans are? With your bad syntax, and we're going to be under arrest and warrants issued. By the way, just to let you know, who's ever listening to this message, I've just been talking to you about you on air, and people have heard this whole thing. You guys, man, can't you guys figure out a better scam? I mean, come on. You Punjabs, how stupid do you think we really are? Bye.
To listen to your message, press 1.
No, that's
enough. To re-record your message.
Oh, my goodness. Now, generally, and the latest thing is, folks, just to irritate you in your daily life, have you noticed the new tactics by people that are trying to sell you something? The new tactic is your phone will ring, you will answer the phone, you don't recognize the number, and immediately it hangs up on you. Now, I don't know if there's some technical thing that's skirting the law that they're really not harassing or, you know, breaking any laws by doing this. And I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun calling these people back and going, who in the hell do you people think you are? You know, and some of them, there is a company that I'm trying to think of the company name, but it sold timeshares. And way back when I was dumb enough to take out a little timeshare, they figured, hey, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, and take some time off and go to a nice resort or something. Well, it wasn't what it was cracked up to be. And I couldn't get out of the deal. You've noticed that there are now lawyers and lawyering firms that specialize in getting you out of your timeshare contracts. And I was like, wow. So the ambulance chasers out there now are defending us against people that, what? And I didn't need a lawyer. I took care of this problem myself. They said, oh, no, that's a mortgage. That's a contract. And I said, what? I said, if this is a mortgage, what do I own? Well, you've got a timeshare, and you agreed, and you can occupy this space or that space for 2 weeks. I said, but this is not a mortgage. A mortgage implies that I have access to said building or buildings 24/7 that it is mine. This is not mine. This is somebody else's property, something akin to a damn condo, that for an exorbitant price I get to operate, or I at least get to go through your operation and get 2 weeks someplace. I said, but I'm not the owner of this building. So you're telling me that this is a mortgage and you're going to take steps against me? And I said, really? I said, show me the bricks and mortar. Show me my name on a mortgage contract. It took me a while, but finally I made these people go away. And to this day, it was RCI, that's what it was. To this day, I'm still getting calls. This thing has been gone for 15 years. I'm still getting calls to this day wanting to know if I want to do something with my timeshare. And what these clowns are doing, the management of this company, is regurgitating and reissuing lists for these poor phone workers to call. And they're getting the snot beat out of them. People are angry. I was angry at first. I thought, you know what? This is intrusive. You guys are out of line. But then I took a different tact. And now it's one of sympathy. You know, I know jobs aren't exactly plentiful, and this is the job that you got, and I feel for you. But you know they're giving you lists that are better than 15 years old? And I said, have you noticed a lot of people, the response when you call them, they're angry? Yeah. Well, tell them to stop doing it or change jobs. It's rather fascinating. By the way, remember Art Bell? Everybody remembers Art Bell, right? Well, Newsmax did a story, and I was not aware of this. Now, Art Bell, when did Art Bell die? April. April 13th of this year. Now, we just heard that he passed away, and well, this is a story out of Newsmax, and I did not know this. Art Bell, former syndicated AM radio host, best known for nightly shows in the 90s, featuring paranormal themes and conspiracy theories, died of an accidental overdose of prescription drugs, authorities in Nevada said Wednesday. Why? This is August. This happened the 13th. An autopsy found that the 72-year-old Bell's death, April 13th, at home in rural Pahrump, Nevada, was from multiple drug intoxication from his own lawfully prescribed prescriptions. Nye County Sheriff Sharon Wearley's office said in a brief Facebook announcement it called the death an accidental overdose. Clark County Coroner John Fudenberg, I don't make the names up, I just report him, Fudenberg, whose office in Las Vegas handled the medical examination, said Bell had the painkillers oxycodone and hydrocodone, or cordone, the sedative diazepam, and the muscle relaxant, I don't even curse the pole, in his system. High blood pressure and lung disease, chronic obstruction, pulmonary disorder were additional significant conditions in Bell's death. Well, suffice to say, if he wasn't drugging it up, he might still be alive today. The coroner said there was no indication of foul play. I guess this was self-induced. Bell produced, engineered, and hosted his radio show, Coast to Coast AM, from his radio station, KNYE, before he left the airwaves in 2002. Well, yeah, Art, you know, Jeff Rentz, John B. Wells, they all did the same thing. They all did the same thing. Brought in the paranoia. I mean, you know, it's... Who doesn't like to watch an old rerun of Twilight Zone, right? It's got an attraction. But as I told Jeff Rentz and others, I said, look, why do you insist on little aliens? Why do you insist on little crop circle conversations? I said, it's inane and insane to do so. There is so much happening, so much real stuff that you can put on your plate, turn it, look at it, do what you want. Why do you guys insist on doing this? And Jeff Rentz, you know, he was straight up honest with me. He said, John, I really believe this stuff. I said, okay, but what difference does it make? You know, in quieter times, I like to read science fiction. It was a great escape. But in the real world that's trying to take larger bites out of your backside, do you really have to continue doing this kind of stuff? I don't know. Just saying. Just saying. Any calls there, Mikey? Okay. That's one of the things that I wanted to get into before I get out of here today. At any rate, are we still having that problem with the webpage? No? Oh, good. I was avoiding it. Okay. Cool. Small implications here, but then again, it's not. Because it goes to the issue of qualified immunity for cops. Now, understandably, the job that they have, sometimes mayhem ensues, chaos, and sometimes death. But in the cases we're seeing today, death almost seems to be imminent when there's an encounter. Bad guys with guns and weapons and threatening people or killing people, bad, I get that. But in many, many instances of which I have let people know unabashedly, should not be taking place because in their book, my safety is more important than your life. And if I take your life and it was an oopsie, it was a mistake, that they get qualified immunity. Bad thing. Three cops have just had their qualified immunity stripped by an appeals court for turning an innocuous, snarky Facebook comment into an arrest. It wasn't all the officer's fault. A helpful citizen playing internet telephone forwarded the comment to someone who happened to be married to a police officer. Oh, I see. This is a knee-jerk reaction scenario. Okay. And everything went from bad to worse, unconstitutional from there on out. How the whole thing started, as related by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. On January 25th of 2015, James Ross was a 20-year-old resident of Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and an active user of the social media website Facebook. Facebook allows users to connect with each other by establishing friend relationships and posting items to a personal feed that can be viewed by both the user's friends. Now, that evening, one of Ross's Facebook friends posted an image that showed a number of different firearms below the title, "Why I Need a Gun." Above each type of gun was an explanation of what the gun could be used for. Ergo, above a shotgun, it said, "This one for burglars and home invasions." Above the rifle with a scope, "This one's for putting food on the table." And above an assault rifle, "This one's for self-defense against enemies, foreign and domestic, for preservation of freedom and liberty, and to prevent government atrocities." Now, Ross interrupted this post as advocating against gun control measures. Ross, an advocate in favor of gun control measures, commented on the post, "Which one do I need to shoot up a kindergarten?" Ross then logged off Facebook and went to bed. Well, yeah, yuck, yuck, fun, fun. This post, along with Ross's response, was deleted shortly thereafter by the original poster. But another user forwarded a screenshot of the post and a comment to a cousin of the poster. The court notes no annotation of additional commentary accompanied the forwarded screenshot. The cousin receiving the screenshot was married to Officer Ryan Medlin of Jackson Police Department. Medlin then forwarded the screenshot to two other cops, and they all decided to find Ross and arrest him when they started their next shift. This was handled as badly as possible by the three officers. Ross was approached at work by a plainclothes officer presenting himself as a customer. And when he stepped from behind the counter to speak to this person, he was arrested. Now, Ross attempted to explain himself, but was instead read his Miranda rights. Well, at least they didn't beat him with rubber hoses. And taken to the station. Then he wrote in a statement explaining his snarky response to the Facebook post. This should have ended everything. Even the cops felt that had nothing to pin on Ross. Nevertheless, according to Ross, several officers at the station told him they did not think the case was likely to go any further than prosecuting attorney's office. However, Ross was not allowed to leave. He was held at the Jackson police station until the next day, during which time he was served with a warrant for peace disturbance. The next day, he was transferred to the Cape Girardeau County Jail, where he was held for another 2 to 3 days until he bonded out, paying $1,000 cash. At some point during the period, Ross was formally charged with a Class B misdemeanor of peace disturbance under Missouri Revised Statute 574.0101C, 2015. The charge was dropped, and Ross sued the officers. The district court granted the three officers qualified immunity, theorizing Ross' right not to be arrested on BS charges following zero investigative effort prompted by Facebook screenshot was not clearly established. Now, the appeals court disagrees. The officers were justified in their efforts to investigate Ross's post in current times and in light of current events. The statement demonstrated, at a minimum, questionable judgment. But the state statute at issue does not apply to any speech that is not a true threat, and under Missouri precedent, a reasonable officer would have understood that. If any further investigation had led the officers to believe there was an immediate or imminent danger, they would have been justified in acting on that information. Here, however, no circumstances prevented the officers from gathering additional information before making an arrest. They were making a statement, folks, not a legitimate arrest. There was no reason to bypass this step just to effectuate an arrest of someone whose post didn't fit the state law definition of a true threat. But that's how these three do-gooders chose to handle it. Apparently, investigative efforts just gum up the wheels of justice. You know, kind of like showing up the wrong address and shooting somebody. There's a corpse on the floor. We're sorry. Nothing to see here. Move along. And by the way, you cops, nothing happened to you. You just killed a private citizen. And nothing happens to you. Yeah. Qualified immunity. Got to protect the gunners. Now, this unconstitutional situation was further aggravated by the officers refusing to listen to anything Ross had to say until they had booked him, and then deciding after coming to the conclusions charges likely wouldn't be pursued by the DA to charge him anyhow and keep him locked up until he made bail. Now, no one's arguing law enforcement would have been wrong to engage in an investigation. What's being stated here is exactly the opposite, that when it's wrong to arrest, book, and charge somebody without engaging in any investigation at all, in circumstances like these, and that was definitely clearly established long before these cops decided to get themselves sued. And you can go to the site, and we've got the whole court document there if you want to read it. But this, you know, from the sublime to the ridiculous, everybody's a terrorist, folks. You know, and quietly, the fusion centers bringing in the FBI and any other governmental agency and kind of fusing them with our police departments under the guise of, we're here to watch for terrorists. Guess what? Everything starts to look like terrorism. And remember the argument that we made? These laws that supposedly to get bad guys the terrorists, we already have laws on the books, okay, to cover any of this stuff. But it's the federal government's magic key to your kingdom that they can burst in and do any damn thing that they want to, up to and including, still to this day, make you disappear, folks. You remember when this happened several years ago with their, yeah. Cops were visibly upset. In Texas here, I don't give a damn if it was PD officer, I don't care if it was county, I don't care if it was state, I don't care who it was. They knew that this could actually endanger them because people don't want to be screwed with. People don't want to deal with the federal government, and they certainly didn't want it. The cops didn't want to be handled through them, that's for sure. And there was a bunch fact that it was going on here for quite a while in Texas. Nobody down here liked it. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hi, John. Apologize for not commenting on your current story, but did you know that Art Bell's second wife was a nurse?
No, I didn't.
Filipino nurse. I think she was about 22 or 24 when he married her. His first wife died next to him of an asthma attack. Apparently, they were in bed together, and she died of an attack.
Hmm. He must have been a very sound sleeper. Maybe he was. I don't like to be just snipey here, but how do you lay in bed and have your spouse die next to you? And I'm sure there was a lot of coughing and a lot of gyrations. Actually, she was suffocating to death. How do you not wake up?
It's a shame. He was a good talk show host. I mean, I was the only person I ever heard that could interview somebody straight for 4 hours. His brother Fred also died under strange circumstances, and his brother Fred apparently had been around a long time, and he had actually worked with Wernher von Braun. Hmm. He had a picture with him.
Yeah. The problem I had with Art Bell, and this might be kind of nitpicky to some, but in one of Art Bell's books, he proclaimed, and I knew he wasn't a real, defender of our values and our rule of law and the Constitution.
I know.
Yeah, when he made the statement about, well, I don't care if there's a new world order as long as it's benign. You know, what the hell kind of a statement is that?
Yeah.
I don't care if there's this huge eat everybody, the kind of oligarchy that can, you know, take total control, but as long as it's benign. And it was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I think Chris might be closer to it than I am, but Art Bell was the first one that ever talked about the kingdom of Nye. He meant Nye County and Las Vegas and that area. And he said, if you weren't careful, you would end up as another lump in the desert.
And there's a lot of lumps out there. You want to talk about shallow graves that one day will be uncovered. Yeah. All right.
And if I can make one comment about earlier caller, when you deal with a corporation and you have a gripe with them, you're never going to get anywhere customer service, because customer service is not designed not to give you any service. The only people that appreciate anything would be the legal department. They're the only ones that wonder if they're going to pay out or not.
Yeah, the customer service is just there to make you feel better about being screwed.
Yeah. It was like in The Godfather when they said about the buffers. Oh, yeah, the family's got lots of buffers. They're just a buffer.
Ken, good night, John. As always, thanks for your call. How much time I got left? About a minute? Fred says he only needs 45 seconds. You better be true to your word. Go.
Jinta, Jewish Institute National Security Fair, support our troops to the source of those signs. Securing America, John, and strengthening Israel. Securing America, strengthening Israel. How about?
Well, like I said, I don't know what Trump's plan is, but I know he's not a dummy. And it had to occur to him that the fake news out there and who runs and who owns the damn things. So I don't know what the guy's got in mind. We'll see. Time is going to tell. But as I said, keep your friends really close and snugly, but keep your enemies a little bit closer so you can keep a better eye on them. We'll see how it plays out. Fred, that'll do it for me today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Folks, please, when I say these words, I'm not saying just to hear myself talk. Please support this network financially. We need your help now. Now.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.